SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy sports today here on Sports Grid. Great to be with you here as we get closer to the Masters and, of course, opening day tomorrow in Major League Baseball. Can't wait. I'm Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We got you covered every day, 12 to 1 Eastern. We've got fantasy sports talk for you. We're going to go over the American League and NL MVP race, see if we can get an early beat on that. I know, Davis, you cashed in big in 2021 on the American League MVP, so I'm curious who your picks will be as we reveal those today.
Yeah, I got to be honest, Craig. I did take a look at the markets this morning because I was like, you know, it's opening day. We're almost here. I got to top myself from last year. And I don't see it. I do not see anything like what Ohtani offered. The best I can do for everyone is Josh Lowe, the Rays rookie, who is now going to get playing time instead of Austin Meadows. They're playing one final spring training game today. And he is leading off. He is listed as the leadoff hitter for the Tampa Bay Rays. So that's the best I can do. So you know, we got generational wealth with Ohtani once, and I actually noticed, by the way, that the book slashed him. He has moved from 3.5 to 1 down to 2.5 to 1 at the FanDuel Sportsbook for AL MVP.
Interesting. All right, we'll review that in just a minute. But first, let's get to our headlines here on the show. And we start off with the NBA, as the Brooklyn Nets didn't take long. They've moved themselves up to number 8 in the East. They could maybe finish 7th, but they're definitely trying to avoid that play-in game for sure. Speaking of which, my gosh, the Lakers are out. They were eliminated from the playoffs last night. LeBron James not in the playoffs. What a bizarre, strange season it has been for them. Jokic had 41 points, not enough for them as the Spurs beat the Denver Nuggets. I saw Joel Embiid had a big game last night, too. Maybe this MVP race is coming down to the final week. And it was announced yesterday Bobby Wood Jr. is going to start at third base opening day for the Kansas City Royals. It looks like, Davis, there's a chance that 2022 is about to provide us with more great rookies in Major League Baseball than we have ever seen before. Julio Rodriguez of the Seattle Mariners, he has made the opening day roster. So has Bobby Witt. So has Spencer Torkelson. And there are others as well. So get ready for a rookie-infused first month of the season, that's for sure.
So I did a little bit of digging into this yesterday. And so why is Julio Rodriguez breaking camp? Why is Bobby Witt breaking camp? Why is O'Neill Cruz not breaking camp? And if I understand the rule changes in this CBA correctly, effectively what's happening is guys who earn votes for Rookie of the Year, you actually get a benefit as the team, not as the player, but as the team, you get benefits in arbitration. You would actually probably know a little bit more about that than I would. But basically, at the back end of these guys' contracts that they're on when they're called up, the team gets some extra power in bargaining when those deals are about to expire. So I think that is the explanation for why Bobby Witt's not going to have to do 2 A's, you know, in Omaha. And that's why Julio Rodriguez is not going to have to do 3 weeks in wherever Seattle's AAA team is, which, I mean, clearly it's good, right? How excited are we that Julio Rodriguez is up, that all these guys, you know, that Josh Lowe got called up by the Rays? Like, I think this is awesome.
It is. And listen, there are club benefits to this. And so there's no question that's the reason why. I don't know if you, I mean, the couple of games already got canceled for tomorrow. I should say postponed because they're going to play them Friday. Mm-hmm. But do yourself a favor and take a look at the opening day starter for the Minnesota Twins tomorrow. Rookie starting first opening day ever. It's really incredible what baseball has worked out as we welcome in our radio audience to Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock talking some baseball here as the season is getting ready to get underway. One more note that we definitely should mention is that despite essentially, I would say, their best efforts, it looked like there was a fight back and forth to me, Davis, knowing a little bit about this between the Cleveland Guardians and Jose Ramirez. In the end, cooler heads prevail, and they lock him up to a long-term deal which I guess the guaranteed money is around $150 million, but really good move, I think, from Cleveland. It shows you how much Jose Ramirez loves Cleveland, because he clearly would have been traded, would have went somewhere else, but I guess he's going to stay now for the next few years.
Or does the longer contract make him easier to be traded, right? Now that you know, the Blue Jays know, all right, we got him under, you know, we have him under contract for all this time. The Yankees, right, trading for him, like, well, okay, we got him under contract for all this time. A little bit easier to part with a top prospect and some cash and a, you know, a platoon outfielder or whatever, when you know the guy you're trading for is not, you know, a hired gun, is not a mercenary coming in for 6 months and then he's moving on to get his next big contract from whoever else after that. Like, I think I can see it going both ways, right? I could see him just playing for the Guardians for the next 6 years and finishes out his career, or I could see him being traded in 18 months and finishing out his career somewhere else.
Yeah, well, we'll see what Cleveland's path is, but definitely the most money spent by them in terms of a long-term extension with the players' control left, 2 years for Jose Ramirez. He'll be in the opening day lineup and an MVP candidate like he is every year for them. All right, coming up next, we dive into some of the odds on FanDuel, the American League and National League MVP, so stay on the grid for that. We've got a Masters preview coming up in about 15 minutes from now. Dubs is going to join Davis and find out exactly who you should be betting on FanDuel to win one of the more anticipated Masters in a long time, as Tiger Woods right now is taking a practice round. So we'll update you on everything at Augusta as well. Stay on the grid. We'll be right back. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Make sure you head on over to Twitter and follow us at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, and information, all kinds of breaking news. And let's be honest, if you're following us tomorrow, the madness begins. March Madness, you think it's over, but April Madness is about to begin here on Sports Grid. We've got opening day tomorrow. We have, of course, the Masters tomorrow. We got the NBA playoffs coming, the NHL playoffs. Davis, it is going to be for about 30. And then the draft. We're going to have about a month straight of nonstop sports fantasy wagering to talk about. I can't wait for it.
Can't wait for it. I mean, we've been saying this, but I mean, great month in sports. I know you don't care, but we had two pretty good Champions League matches yesterday. We're going to have some more today. So, you know, pretty much there's always something great going on. I mean, even these end of season NBA games are taking on a little bit of outsized importance because of the MVP race. I mean, not only the playoff race, but I mean, like, I'm sitting there sweating the Nuggets game yesterday going, come on, Jokic, you got it. So Jokic gets 41 points last night, but they lose. They get blown out, and I'm sweating it. Like, come on, Jokic, I need this money. You got to cash this ticket, bud.
Yeah, I think Embiid had 45, I think, yesterday, right, for Philadelphia. So, I mean, we'll see. This is going right down to the end. All right, American League MVP. Let's get into it here because the season begins tomorrow. And so anybody who makes these picks afterward, I mean, come on, let's be honest. Once you start seeing the games, everything changes. But Ohtani, as Davis mentioned, you could probably get some odds at about 3-1, depending on where you're trying to find this. But he's plus 340 right now. Mike Trout's 5.5-1. This may be the best odds you have gotten on Mike Trout to win the MVP in a decade. So take that as it may. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., 5.5-1. You know I'd pick my guy here, Byron Buxton. I think there's a reason why Byron Buxton is 20-1 here. It does not surprise me. If this guy plays the whole season, he had the best spring of anybody. He's been fantastic. And then Rafael Devers of the Boston Red Sox is 20-1 as well. And the way these things go, Davis, is that naturally we see five names here that we're going to talk about. Let's be real. Two are going to have no shot. That's just the way it works. And we're going to be adding two names that you think have no shot that are going to be in this race, at least for a short period of time. So the value last year clearly on Ohtani, just pitching and hitting, putting it all together. He did it. I mean, there's a reason he's the favorite, and I think he's got a really good shot, but I just wonder who is going to step up and jump into the conversation.
Yeah, I love the Buxton selection. My love of Byron Buxton is well noted at this point. I think your other point is completely correct, though, which is that if you wanted to bet Mike Trout, who is, I mean, how many times has he won AL MVP? Three times. I mean, he is still, when he plays, pretty much still the best player in baseball. I mean, he is definitely on the back nine of his career at this point and has struggled with injuries the last couple seasons. But and then also, you know, the other thing that that we had pointed out pretty much continually last season, which is if Ohtani wins last year, he's got to just be the favorite every single year until either he stops hitting as well or until he stops pitching. Now, when and if the Los Angeles Angels have him, you know, no longer pitching, then I think he will go back, you know, kind of where Buxton and Devers are now, 20-1 or so. But I mean, looking at this market right now, I gotta say that the Buxton AL MVP is the most fascinating to me, other than, you know, just taking your deep stabs for AL MVP. I mean, is it really that bad to make any sort of 100-1 AL MVP vote? Especially because we know, you know, if you wanted to bet Randy Arozarena or JD Martinez or whatever, I don't have any problem with that. But Buxton is the one that looks most interesting to me.
All right, let's take a look at the National League. And certainly Juan Soto, who is the favorite, is going to be in the conversation. I don't think he's going to win, and I don't think any of the other names here are going to win either. I think this is a wide open race, just like it was last year down to the end. Acuña is 9-1, so if the Braves struggle while he's out and then he comes back and he's on fire, yes, that's going to add to his case. Bryce Harper won the award last year. Mookie Betts is always in the conversation, but I don't know. They have so many other players there, including the other guy you see here in Freddie Freeman. I feel like the MVP of the NL, Davis, is not pictured here. I do. I feel like it'll be someone else. Other names that I would throw out there, what happens, Davis, if the Phillies win 98 games and Nick Castellanos hits 40 home runs? Or how about his teammate Kyle Schwarber hits 40 or 50 home runs for Philadelphia and they end up surprising some people? How about if all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the St. Louis Cardinals get back to a 95-100 win team? Is Paul Goldschmidt in the conversation? Is Nolan Arenado in the conversation? These are the easy names to put, but I got a feeling that somebody else is going to win this thing.
I think you are right. You know, there are a couple interesting. Pete Alonso, 30-1, right? A guy who's got a 50 home run season on his track record. Maybe the Mets figure their pitching situation out. You know, maybe Cohen just spends his way and they keep adding pitchers as you know, Scherzer is like 39 and we don't know when DeGrom is coming back. And you know, obviously I think being on a winning team would help him. You know, I think some of these Phillies guys, right? Castellanos and Hoskins. I mean, that offense is going to be absurd. So some of the counting stats for these Philly players are going to be really unbelievable. Like, you know, like if a guy drives in 115 runs, scores 111, hits 280 with 41 home runs, like I think that could get it done. And I think there are multiple Phillies that could do that. And then, you know, Dodgers guys as well, right? Who is going to be the best player for the Dodgers, not named Mookie Betts? You know, I think whoever that might be is fairly interesting. So I think your analysis is correct, which is it's going to be hard for Soto to win on a really bad team. Acuña Jr. is hurt and going to be DHing when he gets back. And Harper, like the fact that he's so patient at the plate kind of hurts him for this award because his counting stats are not going to be as gaudy, even if he does have like a 380 OBP.
Yeah, and I would ask you this question. If the San Diego Padres win that division, it's not going to be because of Fernando Tatis. It's probably going to be because of Manny Machado. What will his numbers look like at the end of the 2022 season if that ends up happening? So another name that I think should be on the board but is not. Maybe take advantage of that on FanDuel. All right, let's take a look at the American League Cy Young. And it's pretty much been the same conversation every single year. And it probably is again this year between Gerrit Cole and Shane Bieber. And naturally, the voters are getting smarter, Davis, and it doesn't seem to matter if you're on a winning team or not to win this award. This one is the one where they just look at the data and they give the award. So Bieber's got a great shot. So does Cole. Robbie Ray, I don't know. I think I'll just pass, not really sure on Robbie Ray. And then Lucas Giolito, Dylan Cease. Obviously, Giolito now with a much better shot with Lance Lynn being out for a few weeks.
Let me tell you who I am betting on to win this award, and it is Noah Syndergaard of the Los Angeles Angels. He's been great in spring, and obviously he could be shut down a week from now, right? Could make one start, His elbow goes, you know, his elbow cracks in half, and that's it. We've seen the last of him. But he really hasn't pitched in like 2 years at this point. His last season of multiple starts was 2019, but he's been incredibly good in spring. Our friend Eno Saris over at The Athletic, you know, keeps track of guys' stuff in spring training, and basically has Thor as one of the guys who's been most impressive in spring training. And I'm incredibly interested in a version of Thor that somehow gets 30 starts in this year at 35-1 to win AL Cy Young.
Yeah, hopefully 25 starts would be in that conversation. All right, real quick, 30 seconds, NL Cy Young. I'm getting bombarded because I picked Burns at 40-1 to win the Cy Young Award last year. I can't say that I have somebody for you guys this year that's that long a shot, but you see the graphic there. Scherzer, Corbin Burns, Bueller, Wheeler, Woodruff, and then my guy Sandy Alcantara from Miami. Yeah, I mean, listen, maybe Woodruff wins it this year. I mean, virtually as good as Burns, right? Pretty good.
Yeah, I think you're right. NL Cy Young don't really have a strong stance. Honestly, some of these secondary Marlins pitchers are kind of interesting to me, you know, Pablo Lopez or whatever.
All right, that's the American League National League Cy Young tomorrow on the show. Perhaps we'll take a look at some season win totals. I've got a couple of favorites. Getting bombarded on those as well, so I'll have those for you. We'll take a break and get fantasy or reality going a little bit later. Dub joins us next. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined, as always, on Wednesday afternoons by our buddy Dub Zanderson. A little bit of golf chatter, a little bit of soccer chatter. We might get to a little bit of Champions League at the end. But, of course, probably the biggest week in golf. This is probably the week in golf that the most, you know, casual viewers are in. Great week to be a sports book. Obviously, the handle for the Masters is huge. Everyone's joining their pools as the golf world descends on Augusta National. And we pretty much got the news yesterday that Tiger's playing. He said he's good, feeling good. Ball's flying off the tee. His range sessions went well. So Tiger is in the field and playing this week, Dubs.
It doesn't get any better. I think this is probably the second best day of the year today. Obviously, tomorrow we get to kickstart the biggest sporting event on the calendar. I mean, this was already a great tournament. You know, such a loaded field. All these young guys ready to win on the biggest stage of them all. Now you throw Tiger Woods back in the equation. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger for the sport of golf. Tiger chasing that sixth green jacket. Jack Nicklaus was 46 years of age when he got his. Could Tiger do the same this weekend? But as you said, like, you know, all the average punters are coming out of the woodworks this week. A lot of money is being thrown on Tiger Woods. I'm cautiously optimistic. I like what I'm seeing. I think maybe he can make the cut and that would be a success. But again, you got to remember, this guy hasn't pegged it up since back in 2020. No competitive reps at all. That's going to be a different beast. Despite the swing looks fantastic. Everything we're seeing on the range, short games there, the swing speed's there. So look, back in with caution, but again, this is a loaded field. And I think the young guys of the last couple of years have taken it to a new standard. So for Tiger, he's going to have to match them.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, look, I don't want it on the record that I'm going up against Tiger, but I am not playing him on DraftKings, and I've not bet any of these numbers. Right now, he is listed at 40-1 to win the event, 8-1 for a top five, plus 500. For a top 10 on DraftKings and minus 115 on both sides to make or miss the cut. I will say, not particularly hard to make the cut at the Masters. You know, you can exclude, I think it's 13 guys this year who are, you know, your Mike Weirs, you know, the guys who are just not going to make the cut. And then they have amateurs in the field as well. Every once in a while, you know, Bryson did make the cut as an amateur. Every once in a while, one of the AMs will make the cut, but not particularly hard to make the cut at Augusta, just the way they do it. I think Tiger does probably make the cut, but I mean, to be honest, like a T38 here, huge win for Tiger, I think. I mean, he would have to view that as solid.
I think so. I mean, for Tiger, he's just missed being out there with the boys, razzing them up. He loves coming back here. And this is a tournament where, you know, you can lean on that course history more so than any other week. And that's why I'm not very big on first-time starters. We haven't seen a first-time starter since 1979, Fuzzy Zeller, get it done. So there's 14 of those. You throw in the amateurs. You throw in the guys like Sandy Lyles, Larry Myers, making up the numbers. It's a 90-man field, 50-plus ties go through the weekend, so a very good chance to make the cut. But for me, Tiger Woods, he has to get out the gate strong tomorrow. I think he's teeing off at 10:35 with Louis Oosthuizen and Joaquin Niemann. That's a great grouping for him. They're guys who go about their business. They'll stay out of the way. So, you know, him trying to back up early Friday again, that's going to be a tough task. But Tiger, he's got to start strong tomorrow, or I wouldn't be shocked if he posts like a 76, 77. We see the old, withdrawal there, citing the legs swollen up, because Tiger, he's got too much pride.
Yeah, he does. And he's not going to come out here to embarrass himself, right? I mean, that's kind of where I've ended. So, and it definitely, you know, golf definitely a little bit of a mind over matter. So I'm not expecting him to win. I'm not expecting him, you know, walking up 18 on Sunday, repeating 2019. But I don't think he's going to embarrass himself is kind of where I'm at. So, I'm kind of taking the low confidence interval. You know, I'm not one of these guys that's, you know, taking Patrick Reed against Tiger Woods in head-to-head matchups or anything like that. But I'm also not, shoveling it in on the other side. So taking a look here at some of the guys that I'm targeting in DFS, I have outrights on a few of these guys as well. Patrick Cantlay, $9,500 on DraftKings. Daniel Berger, $9,000. Shane Lowry, $8,800. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 7,700. Connors, 7,600. Luke List, 7,000. I have outrights on Cantlay, Berger, Lowry, and List. And Cantlay is really the guy I'm dialed in on here. I think he gets his first major championship this week in Augusta.
We're just going to see a good finish of him on the big stage. He hasn't backed it up at the majors, but I mean, you can't say that he's not a big time player. We saw what he did in the FedEx Cup playoffs. This is a guy with no weakness to his golf game, so he should really be one there in the running late Sunday. So I like that pick. Daniel Berger, complete gamer. The one that stands out for me, Shane Lowry, 43-1. You can get him at 8,800 in the DFS lineups. I mean, good short game. He's played well here in the past. They're saying we're going to get a bit of wind here, so it's going to be very tough. He's improved the putting, coupled with a bit of form. I like Shane Lowry. I think that's a very good number for us.
Yeah, Lowry at 50-1. I not any books I have access to, but I have seen a couple people getting him at 55-1. That's probably my favorite. Yeah, that's probably my favorite wager of the week. You know, it's not like Lowry is. I mean, I guess he is a major champion. Like, not a guy I'm used to shoveling money in on, but our friends over at Data Golf love him this week, and his game is in phenomenal shape right now.
I like it. I put a lot of weight on short game this week. You've got to get up and down, a bit of artistry, a bit of shot making, because look, this is not your typical PGA Tour stop. There's a lot more undulation, raised greens, so you've got to have a bit of that golf IQ. Shane Lowry's got it. We've seen him win the British Open, so he's not afraid of the big stage. Lowry, I think that's a sneaky play. And a lot of these guys are still getting a lot of good value on, because the average betting public, they're only backing the big names. You know, your Tigers, your Scotty Schefflers, who I'm not crazy about this week. John Rahm's obviously getting a lot of attention, who I think could be a factor come Sunday there. But yeah, I like those picks.
Yeah. So those are some of my guys. Who are some of Dubs' picks this week? You got any matchups that you're focusing on? What's your card looking like?
Mate, top of the board, John Rahm and JT. I both like those guys. You know, course history on big on. John Rahm coming in here with four top tens. Got the breakthrough at the US Open last year. But again, he needs to win more. I think he's primed for a big one here. And I mean, Justin Thomas, this is a guy, if Tiger doesn't win, this is going to be the close second. I mean, he is getting all the course knowledge, all the inside secrets from Tiger Woods. We know they're best mates. I think he feeds off that energy. He hasn't had his best stuff over the last 12 months, but again, it's coming. I think he's trending for this one. He's got bones on the bag, so I like that. The best value for me up there, Colin Morikawa, 20-1, 2 from 8 at the majors, 25 years of age. This is a guy who finds, you know, another peg there. If you're looking for a key stat for your lineups this week, strokes gained on approach, ball strike, and we're very big on that. Colin Morikawa comes to the top of the list for me. If you're looking for a bit more value, a guy who I don't think can win it, but I think he can have a good finish, Russell Henley, 48-1 in game at the 7K mark there in the DFS lineups. Again, one of the best on strokes gained on approach for the PGA Tour. More value, Sung Jae-im, 65-1. If the course plays soft, and we're going to get a bit of rain today. They're saying they may cancel the par 3 contest. It suits guys like Sung Jae-im, just like Hideki last year. Will Zalatoris, they can go straight to the pin, play target golf, Sung Jae Im 65-1. I've also got him as top South Korean at +115.
There we go. I like that. So let's talk a little Champions League here. We got some big matches today. The quarterfinals of the Champions League. We're getting to the business end of it. Chelsea plays against Real Madrid today, and Bayern Munich plays against Villarreal. Total for that game pretty high, sitting at 3. And you know what? I'm looking at this Chelsea-Real Madrid, and I'm like, man, Madrid was so bad for 95% of that tie against PSG, and they kind of ended up getting it done. I don't know. I may be feeling a little bit of an upset here. Real Madrid, you know, the evil empire. It's like no matter what you could do, you can't stop them.
Hey, it's as big as it gets tonight. Quarterfinal, Stamford Bridge. But look, Chelsea, they were horrible in the Premier League last start. I think a couple of big names will return it. And Pulisic, you know, Team USA, he comes back in the lineup today. I think he might even bag a goal in this one. I'm liking the overs, 2.5 plus money. And I'll go against you, Chelsea. I mean, what about the Premier League as well, Davis? A couple of teams
that's
here chasing the triple honours here. Liverpool, Man City. The football's in a great space right now. Premier League, Champions League, the World Cup just around the corner. Yeah, lock it in. Chelsea, Real Madrid doesn't get much bigger.
No, I mean, it really does not get much bigger in the sporting world. And it is just really fascinating because, you know, Madrid is, there's a bunch of old guys, right? Benzema is 32, Modric is 35, yeah. Toni Kroos is out there. And, you know, they have a couple of these young guys they're letting in. But it's sort of odd, though, because Chelsea in you know, their real run in the 2010s, they were kind of the old man team. Now they're the young team. You know, their front line is Christian Pulisic, the American. I mean, how great would that be heading into a World Cup year for Christian Pulisic to be in another Champions League final and the World Cup draw, by the way. We haven't even discussed that. Year? England versus the USA. Yeah.
Mate, I think it's a good draw for Team USA. I mean, I do like England. You know, they've finally got to step up at the World Cup. But for Team USA, I think it's a draw that they're going to like their chances coming out the other side. You know, they've done it to England before. I think it was back in 2010 when they topped the group stage. But again, guys like Pulisic, some other young, you know, gunslingers you could build the team around, love it. But very important now for Greg Berhalter. Got to get some friendlies lined up, start working on those formations and tactics because, look, you only got a week, you know, prior to the World Cup once the boys come into camp, so plenty to keep an eye on. Even the MLS, some of these guys got to step it up.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much going on in the sporting world. You know, Craig and I, we got all the NBA, all the baseball stuff going on here. We have Augusta this week. Tiger is back, you know, biggest stage of the world. We got the Champions League coming back. We are, you know, 8 months away from the first ever Winter World Cup. So, you know, Dubsy and I will be on here every week. We'll be updating you because we know a lot of you guys are not watching the Champions League and we'll let you know what's going on there. We'll, of course, recap the Masters and everything next week. A new guy may be wearing the green jacket. So everything that's going on in the wider fantasy sports world, you can get here on FST. We're going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on the program. Thanks to Dubs for joining us. I'll be rejoined by Craig for Fantasy and Reality here in a moment. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
After we get through opening day and the Masters and get the NBA playoffs starting, Davis, the NFL draft is going to be upon us before we know it. And the Buffalo Bills, you know, probably don't have to worry about the wide receiver position for a while. Of course, they have Gabriel Davis, who came on very strong last year. And now they have Stephon Diggs for the next 4 years. He signed a long-term extension. Diggs, clearly one of the best in the game, and now is paid like it.
Yeah, huge contract extension for Stephon Diggs. This has kind of become the offseason of the massive contract extension for wide receivers. Davante Adams gets one. Tyreek Hill gets one. Stephon Diggs gets one. And, you know, Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase, they have to be, you know, sending messages to their agent like, you better get working on this now because I want the bag. I mean, how much money can Ja'Marr Chase get when it's time for him to be up? I mean, can he get $30 million annual average value? I think it seems pretty reasonable. It is kind of interesting, though, that it's a four-year contract, and I need to dig in to the language to see where the outs are, because it was kind of widely presumed that the Bills would be taking a wide receiver in the first round this year to add with Diggs, with Gabe Davis, with Jameson Crowder, and Dawson Knox. And now I wonder if maybe they're like, look, we paid Diggs his money. Josh Allen's massive contract extension is about to kick in. Maybe we're better served, you know, figuring out offensive line, defensive stuff, and just saying Diggs is going to have to be the guy for us as Gabe Davis continues to evolve. Because as we learned with the Kansas City Chiefs, very hard to pay your quarterback $40 million and a wide receiver $30 million. It's just a tough ask for your salary cap.
No question. All right. Well, we've got some baseball topics on deck, as well as some golf, of course, with the Masters coming up. Let's find out what we're going to be asking today. Here is Fantasy or Reality.
All right, Davis. Well, we finally did it. We got Bobby Witt here in the major leagues. He's going to be playing third base on opening day for your Kansas City Royals. So, Davis, we'll start with you. Bobby Witt Jr. will win Rookie of the Year. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Easiest fantasy you've ever thrown to me, Brett. Bobby Witt Jr. last year in AAA, 17 home runs, 15 steals, a .395 weighted on base average. He's only 22 years old. And he's coming in. He's going to be amazing. Our friend Derek Carty has him projected for 18 home runs and 14 steals. And then obviously, you know, the range of outcomes with a prospect is basically what are they going to do with major league off speed stuff, right? A lot of these guys are going to figure out how to hit fastballs, because you have to be able to hit the fastball. If Bobby Witt Jr., if Julio Rodriguez, if you know, Josh Lowe, if these guys can't hit the fastball, they're going back down. The adjustment period is what do you do when they stop throwing you the fastballs and they start throwing you those curveballs that look like they're going to be in the center of the plate and then they hit the dirt? What do you do with the 88-mile-an-hour changeup when you just saw a 98-mile-an-hour fastball? And I just feel confident. I feel good. I'm so glad. I mean, really what I'm just glad about is that we're not having to debate, oh, you know, can you take Bobby Witt where he goes when he's not going to be up? Like, it feels like a weight off my chest to just know at least he's on the frickin' team. At least he is on the team opening day. He's going to be out there. That is the best news. But yeah, he's winning Rookie of the Year, Craig.
Yeah, I'm going to go fantasy here, and that's no indictment on Bobby Witt. There are a lot of other choices to make this season for Rookie of the Year. You know, certainly Julio Rodriguez has to be in the conversation. Naturally, there'll be a player that we're not talking about right now. Maybe somebody on Oakland. It feels like they're going to be starting like six rookies this year, so we'll see there too. But for me, this is relatively easy. The home run is really what drives and moves the needle here. And I'm going to pick Spencer Torkelson to win the Rookie of the Year on the Detroit Tigers. The lineup is incredible there. I know he's starting off the season kind of like Witt, batting seventh or eighth. He's going to move up very quickly. He's a first baseman. And Detroit, by the way, is going to be good too. A lot of attention going to be put on him. I got Torkelson winning American League Rookie of the Year. I got fantasy on Witt winning Rookie of the Year.
All right. Our next question is about Corbin Burnes, who Craig nailed last year as the NL Cy Young. And Craig, with no Jacob deGrom in the NL this year and Max Scherzer battling a hamstring injury, it appears that Corbin Burnes is the shoe-in best pitcher in fantasy baseball. So we'll ask you, Corbin Burnes will be the best pitcher in fantasy baseball in 2022. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I sort of feel bad because I love Corbin Burnes. I did pick him to win last year, and it was an amazing choice to be able to do that at 35 or 40 to 1. But pitching is probably the least predictable outcome, and back-to-back seasons of pitching well is the least predictable outcome. Now, if Corbin Burnes does it again this year, you got to start calling him Garrett Cole, right? Like, when a pitcher like this takes a huge step and then is able to repeat it for a second time, it changes the category of the player. I'm not there yet with Corbin Burns. He's got to do it again for me to be able to prove it. So you're giving me the field. I got fantasy. And very clearly the one guy that I would say that somehow still flies under the radar, I'm not quite sure, is Walker Buehler of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I got to figure at some point this guy's going to win a Cy Young. Maybe it's this year.
Could definitely be Walker Buehler. You know, one of the things that in the past has been a problem with Dodgers starting pitchers in the non-Clayton Kershaw division has been they don't give the guys a long enough leash to win the Cy Young. They don't get enough innings. They don't get enough wins. Well, throw all of that out the door. Walker Buehler, 33 starts last year, 207 innings, 2.47 ERA, struck out over a batter per inning, only walked 6% of the batters he faced. Obviously, the Dodgers are going to win, you know, a metric crap ton of games this year. Their offense is phenomenal. I think you could argue that their roster has gotten better, you know, with the additions of Freddie Freeman. And honestly, I love Gavin Lux as like the super util player for them. You know, it's a little bit of corner outfield. So I'm taking the field as well. I'm going to say fantasy, and I'm going to give my I've been digging into this the last couple days. Craig, I know you were thinking about maybe doing an NFBC main event draft. Mm-hmm. I think if this Zach Wheeler health stuff kind of ends up not being real and his shoulder is fine, our friend Derek Hardy has him as the third best, you know, skills starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, but he's going in the third round because of this health concern. I think Zach Wheeler is going to be one of the, you know, kind of skeleton keys to fantasy baseball. So that is my out of the first two rounds guy who can help you win your leagues.
All right. Well, our last question and probably the biggest story out of Augusta this week is Tiger Woods is wearing FootJoy golf shoes. Nike no longer makes clubs or golf balls, so Tiger's been using other equipment for a while, but obviously the longtime face of Nike golf wearing different golf shoes is a big story, and you can see the golf shoes there. No FootJoy logos crossed out or anything, so we have to ask, and Davis, we'll start with you. Tiger Woods will leave Nike. Is this a fantasy or reality?
It's pretty interesting, right? The idea of Tiger, who kind of basically made Nike golf, leaving Nike golf. I wonder if, you know, maybe this is just a little bit of you know, bargaining, a little bit of a negotiation tactic from Tiger Woods, or maybe he's just like, look, man, the FootJoy stuff is better, the Titleist stuff is better, the Callaway stuff is better, you know, whatever it might be. Because if you really think about it, you know, a lot of these guys have multiple different sponsors, but if Nike is not making clubs and they're not making balls and it's just about the clothes, you know, I mean, how big is the paycheck that he's getting from Nike these days? Because I would imagine, Craig, Titleist, FootJoy, whoever, I would imagine that these guys are so ready to open the pocketbook to get Tiger out there in their stuff, or to make, you know, a FootJoy Tiger shoe, or to make a FootJoy, you know, Tiger apparel collection. Like, how big is the check he could get from some of these companies? Like, so big.
You know what I'm curious about is that, did he wear these sneakers? I don't know if you know this, or maybe Brett does. Did he wear the FootJoy after his press conference yesterday? Did he, or was it before? Because it seems to me that would be a reasonable question to ask at the press conference that he did the other day. Did people not know at that time?
Yeah, people asked him, yeah.
What did he say?
He said that the shoe gives him better support at the moment, so that's okay. Why he's wearing it, obviously coming off the injury. But there was a smile at the end of that, Craig. So some people are speculating. Yeah, people are speculating.
I try to get these all right on fantasy or reality. My track record is not great here on these. I will say fantasy. I think that cooler heads prevail here. Look, Tiger Woods is only playing, what, 3-4 tournaments a year? I think I'm on the high side there by saying 3-4 tournaments a year. In the end, it's still Michael Jordan. It's still rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. I understand that Nike is changing the way that maybe they manufacture, but I don't see this changing. I think it's a one-time thing. but I guess we'll have to see. I'll say fantasy. I'll say that he stays with Nike. But the other part of this, Davis, that I think is probably more intriguing is that following this chronology of Tiger Woods, maybe I'm completely wrong here. It certainly feels to me, in my mind, and again, being a father, I kind of understand. It seems like everything now that Tiger is doing is for his son. It feels like that. It feels like everything is for him, whether he plays professionally, whether he's good professionally, whether he gets a contract professionally. And so that's where my curiosity lies here. I wouldn't be surprised if that is part of the equation, not leveraging because of his son, but just trying to understand which way he's going to go forward. And maybe the equipment not being available to his son has caused him to maybe rethink things. That may, I don't know. Does that make any sense? That's my fake narrative.
No, I get it. So like, I think the broad point you're making, which is that if Tiger's son didn't like golf, didn't care about his dad's golf career, wasn't a good golfer, you know, if his kid wanted to play basketball or wasn't athletic, or if he didn't have, you know, if there was no golf interest at all coming from his children, I do wonder if he would have just given it up at this point. You know, his body has been through so much. He's, I mean, and obviously he is, I know he doesn't have as many majors as Jack, but he, like, it's kind of like the LeBron versus Jordan thing. We're like, no one questions that Tiger is the greatest golfer of all time, considering all of his accomplishments and the breadth and width of those accomplishments. So I think you're probably right. I think, you know, his son, Charlie, does have a huge amount to do with his decision-making in golf these days.
Yeah. And with all the money that Tiger Woods has, is it well beyond reach to believe, Davis, that maybe they're out somewhere and Charlie says, oh, I really like FootJoy. Guess what Tiger Woods is going to say at that point? Let's go right to FootJoy. He doesn't care about the money at this point. He wants to make his kid happy. I've been there. I understand it. All right, we'll take a quick time out here on the show. Coming up next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60. And then, of course, Donnie and Kevin standing by. So stay on the grid. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Will be a busy day tomorrow here on Sports Grid. It's opening day in Major League Baseball. I will say it does feel like Friday is the real opening day because virtually everybody is playing on Friday and there's only a handful of games tomorrow, but we definitely will preview this for the season and a daily fantasy perspective. Let's turn it over to Davis as we wrap up the show. Here's his Sports Grid 60.
So a storyline that kind of used to dominate around this time every single year as we headed to Augusta was, you know, Rory McIlroy waiting to win the career Grand Slam. He's won the PGA, he's won the U.S. Open, he's won the British Open, he's won, I think, six majors up until this point. And, you know, it's like we've kind of forgot that Rory needs to win this event to finish the career Grand Slam. And I'm filling out my betting card this week. We just talked about it with Dubs, which you can go back and watch on demand. And I'm filling out my card this week and I'm looking at my numbers. I'm like, you know, Rory, he played pretty bad last week, but he's been really solid off the tee. Hasn't been, you know, losing a million strokes putting like he normally does. And I just went ahead and did it. I added Rory to the card mostly because I would never forgive myself if Rory did finally win this event and I did not have a piece of it.
All right, so I saw the announcement today. This is only applied to those of you who care, but I saw an announcement today that Apple TV has renewed the show called Severance for a second season. And to explain this show is virtually impossible, but to explain how I feel about this show is very simple. I don't know if I like this show or not, but I'm so far down the road of watching it that I just can't stop until the season finishes. The final episode of the first season is going to be coming up this week, and I guess now it's renewed for a second. So we've all been there before. Am I happy that's been renewed for a second season? I'm not really sure because I'm kind of now forced to watch a show that I'm not really even sure if I like or not. I don't know if that sums up TV these days, but I guess it sums up that one for me. Thanks to our friends at LTN. Thanks to Danny and Ryan on our graphics. And for Brett and Davis, I'm Fred. Have a great day.